Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com.
Welcome to Hot Grease. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Every week on Hot Grease, we bring people back to what's great in food, culinary traditions, cooking at home, knowing you're a farmer, or even growing your own food. With my Below the Mason Dixie charm, I spotlight the culture of the food movement, from chefs to tastemakers to moms on a budget. Today, we'll be talking the McDonald's fiasco, Mormon food, Bryant Terry, and With Love from Brooklyn. If you're listening live to Hot Grease via HeritageRadioNetwork.com, give us a call, give us a ring-a-ling link. Our live call-in number is 718-497-2128. So I want to start off with our food headlines this week about the McDonald's fiasco. Man, if you're listening, you're on Twitter, did you see it? Did you hear it? McDonald's launched this campaign that was a complete and total fail. It was called Meet the Farmers. They used the hashtag Meet the Farmers, and it went crazy. Within an hour, people started responding not so positively, and they then came up with a not so bright idea to turn the campaign into McD stories. I don't know what the hell McDonald's thought. Did they actually think that people were going to like write all these positive stories about McDonald's? Well, they didn't. People, they are hilarious. If you go and like Google hashtag MD stories and read some of the things people were saying, folks were talking about how they bit into a Big Mac and they found like a fingernail, and it was just people were talking about, you know, I went in there one time and the smell made me throw up, and it was a PR nightmare. And I thought I'd bring this up because, you know, Twitter, social media is great, but I think brands really have to think about, should they be doing these media campaigns online? Apparently, McDonald's bought up all these sponsored tweets, and this is what they got. What a fail. So, hey, all you folks listening and you're like, oh, I want to use social media to talk about my new campaign. Really think about your brand and think if it's a good thing. Because sometimes if you're a large company, you just need to be on social media and Twitter just to listen. See what people are saying. Not trying to, you know, spread this gospel or what you think may be your gospel. Because McDonald's actually said they only wanted to tell their farm to fork story. Really, Mickey D's? Anyway, that's the first food headlines of the day. We're going to take a very, very short break and come back with more food headlines with Miss Dara Furlow. Keep listening to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network.
Bet my daddy proud. A little nigga with a shaky smile. On top of the dreams is where I'm found. Some figured I was Satan bound. Until I came back with a style I found. Then all of a sudden they fixed their faces. Cause of who I know when to trim the places that I've stepped. How many niggas wanna hate?
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. We're talking food headlines today. In the studio joining me is the founder of new online based business With Love from Brooklyn. Dara is a CIA trained chef, businesswoman, mother. What else can I put behind there, Dara? Welcome to Hot Grease.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to
be
here.
What did I miss in your title?
Homeowner.
You're a marketing professional. Everything. Welcome to
Scorpio.
Oh, you're up. Oh, don't get me started about the Scorpios. Look, so I have to ask you. You read the piece that was in New York Times about Mormon cuisine?
Yes.
It was fascinating, right?
Yes. Everything is getting an artisan makeover. Even Mormon food.
I know. So, all this Mormon talk is apparently linked to our boy, Mitt Romney, right?
Yes.
I didn't realize that he was so, please forgive me if I use the wrong word. I didn't realize he was so orthodox. He's like he was an orthodox Mormon.
All I can say is I don't want to see green jello in the White House.
I know, right? So if you're listening, you're like, what are they talking about? There was an article in New York Times. I can't even remember what day it was. New York Times online and print about Mormon food and what were the traditional Mormon food things. So apparently, I didn't realize that Mormons are not allowed to drink caffeine. And their quote unquote, one of their traditional meals is jello. It's jello. I didn't get that. So That's amazing, right? Do you have any Mormon friends?
I lived in Arizona for a while, and there is a huge Mormon community out there. So I would compare the influence in Phoenix to kind of like the Hasidim in Williamsburg.
Yeah.
So it's a huge, fundamentalist religious community. And it's really interesting. Giant SUVs and very, very large families. So I kind of get it with the prepared foods and making things quickly with convenience foods.
And I didn't realize, I have a friend, she's a former Mormon. I have to have lunch with her because I have a lot of questions about this whole, I didn't realize there's a huge like Mormon food blogger world. Did you know that?
Very industrious people.
It's supposed to be hip. There are a lot of like mommy bloggers and food bloggers that are not, well, the stereotypes that we have about Mormon, but like, I guess I'm going to say cool Mormon bloggers or?
Well, even Deuce, she's a lapsed Mormon.
Oh yeah,
she and her husband.
Okay, what's the deal with her? What she spells her name, her blog kind of, what is it, D-O-O-C-E? Okay, and then I saw someone actually posted on my personal Facebook thing, like not posted on mine, but I saw it came up in my stream, like Deuce is getting a divorce or she's killing herself, or I didn't even know who she was. I had to Google her.
Oh, she's like the ultimate.
So you knew about her?
Oh yeah, I've been following her for years.
Oh, okay, man, a whole nother world folks don't know about. Okay, so I have to step back because I mentioned before when I was introducing you, not only are you the founder of With Love from Brooklyn.com and a CIA trained chef, you're also, I would consider, a marketing digital professional. So what do you think about the McDonald's fiasco, speaking of marketing?
One thing I kind of see with social media is you really have to have some authenticity behind what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I think when you take it from the top down, mega corporation trying to keep it real on Twitter, it's never going to work. Never. I mean, there are some facets of your business that maybe you can pull out, and I could see kind of how that would maybe seem possible. But honestly, they have to be smoking crack if they think people are going to think of McDonald's as farm to table.
Yeah, it was actually Meet the Farmers. I'm like, here's the thing. I don't eat McDonald's. I know that people do eat McDonald's. Hey, I don't know if I've said it on the show before, but my mother, on and off has worked at fast food places to make extra money. But she doesn't really eat it like that. So I'm not going to knock McDonald's. But you cannot get on social media and claim to be like Meet the Farmers. People know when they eat McDonald's that shit is like not the best, right?
I also feel like this sounds crazy, but I've been eating McDonald's. I mean, I don't eat it now.
Yeah.
But as a child, I did. And it was totally different food.
Yeah.
The quality.
The fries.
And the synthetics and everything. It has changed so much. Everything's so sweet. It's just horrendous.
Yeah.
It's bad. If you think it's bad now, it's just crazy to imagine that it was once better. It was more like real food.
Yeah.
And then it's just had such a downward spiral, even for fast food quality. I just think it's atrocious.
Well, that's the current state of the food system. But, people know. I mean, I'm not opposed to never giving a child a McDonald's Happy Meal. I don't think that you should be giving them. It's just like me eating donuts and all that sweet stuff every now and then. No, you say no there?
I say no, absolutely.
So your kids have never had McDonald's?
They have had McDonald's in like a dire situation,
right,
like on the road, on a trip. But even they don't like it.
Yeah, it's not good. Like I said, I I can see a dire emergency. You want to get McDonald's. Kids are going to be curious. They see all the commercials. I mean, it's almost like when people tell you not to have sex. You know, you're like, oof. It's kind of the same. Just go on and get it out of the way, and you'll realize that it's not all that good. Okay, let's move on from McDonald's. The next thing I want to talk about, this is kind of like a headline. Colorlines.org, one of my favorite places to get great news, did a fabulous feature on Brian Terry. If you're listening, you don't know who Brian Terry is. His latest book is called Inspired Vegan. It actually came out last week. It was a great article, and it was called... I'm about to misquote it. What did it say? Vegan is not for just white people.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm. I love Brian Terry. You have an amazing story about Brian Terry before he was Brian Terry.
I can say I knew Brian Terry when, when the Clinton Hill CSA first started, this is about 5 or 6 years ago, Brian Terry was still a student at the Natural Gourmet School that school in Manhattan. And he was an intern for us and did some tremendous food demos. Then next thing you know, he gets a Soros Fellowship, moves to San Francisco, and the rest is history. He's published multiple books. He's just so bright and so right on and so smart with the things that he's doing and the stuff he's talking about, particularly in the context of, people of color and veganism, and just bringing up the idea that you don't have to eat shit food. There are just so many other things out there, and kind of leading that passage of discovery for people. I think he's really done some great stuff.
So how many years ago, and people were listening, they're saying, Clinton Hill, what is that? That's a neighborhood that's in Brooklyn.
Yep.
That was, what, 6 years ago?
At least, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And I mean, think about it. He's accomplished a lot in that short time.
Yeah, he's accomplished a lot. He's done 3 books. He did Grub. He did, what's the other one? I can't remember. I had that at home. Mm-hmm. He did that one. And I actually saw him say on his personal and his Brian Terry thing that, like, it's sold out on Amazon. His book is, like, sold out on Amazon. So good for him. We have to get him in the studio. Brian Terry, what's up? You need to come by Hot Grease. I know he'll be in town this spring. He's going to be the keynote speaker at Brooklyn Food Coalition's conference.
Oh, that's great. I hope he stops by.
Yeah. So that's food headlines for the week. We're going to take a short break. We're going to talk more with Love from Brooklyn with Mrs. Dara Furlow. Keep listening to Hot Grease.
I think I started something. I got what I wanted. Didn't I can't feel nothing superhuman, even when I'm fucking Viagra popping every single record, auto tuning, zero emotion, muted emotion, pitch corrected, computed emotion. I blame it on a model bra with a Hollywood smile. Ow, stripper booty in a rack, like wow.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Check out our program schedule and show archives on heritageradionetwork.com. If you want to go on iTunes and download podcasts, go there and just put in keyword Hot Grease. We are chatting with mommy, business owner, woman with multiple titles, Dara Furlow. She is the founder of a new Brooklyn-based online store, boutique called With Love from Brooklyn. So I have to ask you about, a Super Bowl. Super Bowl is coming up, what, Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
And you're CIA trained. I love to say, see, it's like the Harvard, right?
Yeah.
It's like the Harvard of food. So what are you cooking up for the Super Bowl? Do you make stuff for the Super Bowl? What do you suggest as a chef?
I mean, I don't know. I would probably take it old school.
You're going to do it old school? Old school is good.
Chili all the way.
Chili, yeah.
Cornbread.
Chili and cornbread. Is that easy? What about wings?
I like wings.
How can you fancy
wings
up wings?
Wings is a good way to go. Good question. Oh, how about sriracha?
Can we do Brussels sprouts for Super Bowl?
Let's do it.
That's kind of lame, though. No,
Brussels sprouts go with everything
for Super Bowl.
Brussels sprouts are the new black. It's good.
Okay, so you say keep it classic for the Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not varying too far off the script.
What about, you know, should we remember our gluten-free stuff? Should we be fat-free? Or should this just be a day of, like...
Total indulgence.
Okay.
Total indulgence. And if you want some, you know, artisan overlay to it, how about some pickles? How about some picklebacks?
Well, you could do that. Well, you said the Brussels sprouts. I am dying to make the... I saw someone post the bacon marmalade Brussels sprouts. So I guess they just put roasted Brussels sprouts and put a few spoonfuls of bacon marmalade.
Yeah, I find myself putting bacon marmalade on a lot of stuff. I make a mac and cheese with bacon marmalade.
So I have to ask you, today is Monday. Mm-hmm. You have kids. I rarely get mothers in the studio. Are you like the only person? Let me think back. You're like the only like foodie person that's probably been in the studio that has three adorable kids. Do you do the Meatless Monday thing?
We've done it off and on.
Yeah.
I can't say that I do it religiously, but I really do like the idea. And I also try to, one thing that's been great about having my own business is being able to really cook for my family. Because mm-hmm. I came out of, you know, the corporate world where I would leave home 7:30, get home 7:30.
Yeah.
I couldn't cook for my kids. I couldn't spend time with my kids. So that's one thing I can really recommend about this entrepreneur path is, you know, integrating family into work, into life. It all kind of jumbles together.
What do they say about mommy and the new food business? Do they get it? Do they know with love from Brooklyn, do they know what it is?
Yeah, they totally get it. And I'd say the biggest challenge is keeping them out of the food.
So they go raid all the new chocolates.
And yes. And the popcorn and the cookies. So it's like I have to really like guard my stuff.
I love it. So the birth, speaking of birth and children, speaking of birth and children, I mean, with love from Brooklyn, it's like a baby. It's like your fourth child, right?
It is.
How did you get inspired?
You know, my inspiration really came out of, and I have to totally give props to the Brooklyn Flea, to Smorgasburg, to Bedford Cheese, to Choice Green, to Green Grape Provisions, and all
my
the
favorite
people,
places.
Love all the people who have really like propelled this artisan food scene here happening in Brooklyn to the next level by really providing a venue and a forum for people to launch businesses. And for me, what I noticed is it was very difficult to find the products online.
Yeah.
So there might be one or two, or you could find, you know, like McClure's Pickles. I don't know if they've changed it, but you could only get a case of pickles if you wanted to order pickles. And I just was always very inspired by the experience of shopping and eating and just immersing yourself in this kind of food bubble, especially at Smorgasburg. And I just felt like, you know what, I'd like to use my skills and training and my palate and bring it outward, you know, start exporting what we're doing in Brooklyn and provide yet another avenue for people to, you know, generate a market and get the recognition that they deserve for, you know, their creativity and their incredible hard work. It is not easy to be a food artisan.
No, it's not easy at all. And your site is absolutely gorgeous. And I know for me, I get excited when I can go online to a place. I'm like, wow, this is nice. It's not only appealing, not only it has great products, but the visual of your site is absolutely gorgeous. I love it. You get that a lot?
I really appreciate it. Yeah. And I think part of it, in terms of the look and feel, very fortunate to work with very talented graphic designer, Trisha Oaken of Paper Cut.
What's up, Trish?
And, you know, I'm also really fortunate, a long-standing friend of mine who's also a mom, the illustrator Claudia Pearson. So she does just absolutely gorgeous work. So in addition to having her illustrations featured throughout the site and even in my logo with the pigeon, I also have a pop-up shop of her stuff. And we're going to be partnering on some you know, exciting stuff in 2012 as well.
Oh, exciting. Let's talk more about the people who, speaking of the birth, you know, Nichelle was involved, one of my favorite people in the whole wide world, Meredith Modulesky. All these people are connected to Heritage Radio Network. They've been in the studio before. You've had some amazing people really just to like come in really quickly and help you spread the word. I forgot to tell you this, congrats. I saw you were on Tasting Table last week.
I haven't seen that.
You didn't see that?
No.
Really?
On Tasting Table?
Tasting Table. You were on their National Edition.
What?
You were on their National Edition. I think it was last Thursday or Friday. You know they send out like the New York edition?
Mm-hmm.
But they send out a National Edition. It was at the bottom.
Okay. Oh, well. I'll have to look for that. I know I was in the Village Voice last week.
Oh, yeah. Love
that. On their blog.
Love that. But yeah. Oh, man. You missed that, huh? It hadn't popped up in your Google alerts yet.
I can't believe it. Google alerts. Get with it.
So we're going to take a quick break.
Hey, Nicole.
Yeah.
I've got D'Angelo playing Untitled from 2 nights ago in Paris.
Oh, okay. So we're going to take a quick break there. Do you like D'Angelo?
Absolutely.
Okay, here we go. We're going to listen to a little D'Angelo and come back with more with love from Brooklyn. Welcome back to Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Hot Grease is produced by Jack Inslee and myself. We're being engineered today by... Oh, are we being engineered by Jack as well today?
Yeah, everybody's chipping in.
Oh, and Carlos Salguero is in the studio. He's also one of our engineers here on Heritage Radio Network. Let me give a Southern Girl's hug to Roberta's Restaurant, located at 261 Moore Street in Brooklyn, New York, the location of two sustainable shipping containers known as Heritage Radio Network. Okay, folks, so man, I was listening to D'Angelo. I was getting into it, thinking about Valentine's Day. You know, we like how many days away? Tomorrow, when we're like 14, 16 days away from Valentine's Day, and why not go on with love from Brooklyn and send some your sweetie something for V-Day. Yeah, let's talk Valentine's Day. You just rolled out and launched today some of your new offerings for Valentine's Day.
Yeah, the latest gift set is Hot and Bothered.
Ooh.
Speaking of D'Angelo.
I know, right? So what's in the Hot and Bothered?
Hot and Bothered, I had the really good fortune of having our tastemaker friend, Nichelle Stevens of Cupcakes Take the Cake, curating this gift set. And she had a really good hookup with Jacques Torres.
Love Mr. Chocolate.
I know. He's great. So I was able to, you know, for such a small company, we're sometimes able to get in the back door with some of the bigger companies. So Jacques Torres, Wicked Hot Chocolate and Wicked Chocolate Bar. So we're adding a little spice to your chocolate.
Yeah.
Along with Nunu Chocolates. That's absolutely one of my favorite places in the world.
Which chocolate from Nunu is in the Hot and Bothered?
Mezcal chili.
Oh, that's what. Oh, you gave me a little taste of that.
Yeah,
it's really good. It's not too. It doesn't have this like serious bite. Sometimes you taste like the spicy chocolate and it kind of lingers in the back. It's just a hint, just enough.
Yeah, that's like it's a little boozy. It's a little spicy, and it is just incredibly good. I love their store. I love their chocolate. And actually, it'd be a great place to go for Valentine's Day. It's the most romantic.
It is.
Lovely little wine bar. And also their pairings of wine and spirits with chocolate. And then the final item in this gift set is the Spoonable Chili Caramel. So there's a great woman, Michelle Lewis, who is the founder of Spoonable. She makes everything in small batches. She makes 6 pounds of caramel at a time. Rich, delicious butter, heavy cream, you know, caramelized sugar. And then her twist on it is that she mixes in, you know, she infuses flavors. Mm-hmm. So this one is a chili caramel. Again, a hint of spice. You know, and it's this just delightful, and you can actually use it a couple ways. You like use it many ways, but you can you can
hot and bothered.
You can pour it on ice cream, you know, just for something simple. You can heat it up. She has a great poached pear recipe on her website, and you can also, you know, employ it in the savory department and brush it on ribs or even chicken to make kind of a delicious glaze.
So what other, you have a few, how many selections actually do you have on?
There are six at a time. So in addition to Hot and Bothered, which just went up today, we also have something called Pig Island.
Pig Island.
Pig Island is one of my absolute favorites.
Yeah, I'm actually so excited because I help curate the selection for Pig Island. And you know, I have to tell people, this is a confession about bacon. I really didn't start eating bacon until I moved to New York City. I went like 10, almost 11 years without eating any pork. So I'm excited to get back in the bacon world.
Well, you're in it. You're in it in a big way. You know, and that one has Ovenly caramel.
Love them.
Spicy bacon caramel corn, which is definitely my go-to snack. It's Cracker Jacks for grown-ups.
It is.
And then the famous bacon marmalade. Along with a couple of other great things.
So we have to break the news to people who are not in Brooklyn and to live outside of NYC, because I've seen bacon marmalade when I was down in Atlanta. It was in Star Provisions, which is a great gourmet shop in Westside Provisions in Atlanta. But bacon marmalade is no more.
Well, they're on a hiatus. The wonderful couple, Ross and Joanna, newlyweds.
Yeah.
They've moved to Mallorca. They're going for at least a year. And I talked to them about this. I was sort of surprised that they didn't try to, you know, keep the marmalade going, keep producing it, just, you know, having a kitchen staff. But really, Ross makes it himself. And they said they didn't want anyone else making it.
Oh, cool. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, so you may be the last person. You may be one of the few places that people can get bacon marmalade. It's really, really good, folks.
It is so good. I mean, you know what else for my kids? Put it on grilled cheese.
Oh, really?
You spread it on the bread. Oh, my Lord. It is so good. So, I mean, that's one of those, you know, I a lot of these products, I feel like people are coming up with higher quality, you know, and better tasting and locally, you know, sourced products, small batch. And those are all buzzwords, but these people are really living that life.
Yeah, totally.
But the big thing I see is the real, you know, pushing the envelope in terms of flavor.
And I think, I just want to say this, people, when you go to With Love Brooklyn, you actually have a connection to the producers. It's not like you just, you know, got a whole bunch of stuff and put it in a gift basket and you don't know these folks. You actually reach out and touch them. You can see them. You can go have coffee with them. And I think it's, you're passing that along to someone else who's buying it.
Yeah, and that's the other piece of the puzzle for me, because you can sometimes find products that are wonderful. And if you see them usually with, you know, e-commerce, there's a product description. It might be really evocative. Yeah. It might be really in-depth. But I want to know who's making my food.
Yeah.
And so that's what, you know, we really try to emphasize with blog posts and artisan profiles. And coming up on the blog, we have Clay Williams is also going to be.
Oh, we love Clay. Clay's the best.
Ultra Clay is going to be our photo contributor. So cool. He's going to be sort of writing a visual love letter to Brooklyn through, you know, really cool blog posts weekly.
And I just want to say to you, and I say it publicly, and I've said it before, thank you for definitely having me on this tasting panel. I feel totally honored. I mean, there are so many great folks that come in here to this radio network all the time that are making great food. And I love to be able to pass that along to a business person that will say, hey, this will be great for my business, and package it in a way that spread it all over the country. So thank you for making me a part of that. I feel honored.
Yep. Spread love. It's the Brooklyn way.
I know, right? Spread love is the Brooklyn way. I just want to remind people, too, if you're going on With Love from Brooklyn or you're hearing us talk about it, you can't buy stuff individually, correct?
Not yet. I'd love to expand in that direction. But for me, it's really important to, you know, have tastemakers involved and have that curatorial eye. And, you know, some of the products you can get elsewhere, but you can't get them elsewhere together.
Yeah.
You know, my feeling about the whole endeavor is that the whole is definitely greater than the sum of its parts. Seeing it as a movement and a scene, mm-hmm. and not just isolated producers. You know, I think about a lot of people are in Whole Foods. Well, yeah. If you're one little jam jar on a shelf with 500 kinds of jam, I think it's really difficult to really show what makes you shine.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm doing it all through the lens of hyper-local, you know, and kind of putting this Brooklyn artisan food culture on the map. I want everyone to know what we're doing and what we're capable of. And then hopefully, you know, I know there are a lot of cities where this kind of stuff is really popping off.
That's what I was about to ask you. And you know what I'll have to say is, when you go outside of the country, Brooklyn food scene is definitely on the map, but I think you're doing something different. You are actually giving it to people outside of Brooklyn. And because here, you know, this is all like regular jargon, everyday talk, mm-hmm. but outside of this little NYC Brooklyn bubble, as I like to call it, people are going crazy. And you're doing something great, because someone that's in, you know, Portland, oh, what a bad example, but someone that's in like Utah, a Mormon blogger in Utah, can go on with Love from Brooklyn and buy a piece of Brooklyn, really.
Right.
And you're thinking about, I read in the Village Voice article, you're thinking about expanding. Is that, that's
what's
next?
I think that's sort of down the line a bit, but what I would love to do is, again, employ a tasting panel.
Yeah.
And have people who are really of the place
mm-hmm.
kind of make their recommendations, and then we can start to put together some gift sets from other cities. So you can have With Love from Portland. You can have, you know, With Love from Detroit.
When I saw when you said the Detroit thing, man, I have like two or three people I can connect you with ASAP in Detroit. I love that idea. Yeah. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Dara, we run out of time. Uh-oh. Can you believe that? We could go on and on and on. So, folks, if you're listening, tell them again. It's easy.
Yep.
Where can they find you?
Brooklyn.com.
Thank you, Dara, for coming on Hot Grease.
Thank you for having me.
Listeners, thanks for tuning in to Hot Grease on HeritageRadioNetwork.com. Remember, you can join me every Monday live right here at 3:30 Eastern Time. But until then, always take the road less traveled. Makes no difference
what group I'm in. Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.